A small group of thoughtful people can change the world. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, bringing you the thought for today. And if you think I'm crazy, you're right. A small group of thoughtful citizens can change the world. Now, I had a confrontation with my guru this morning, and we had a very in-depth discussion. We talked about blood pressure. We talked about harmonious lives, harmonious living. We talked about how you can enjoy more out of life and be at peace with yourself. How about that? A small group of thoughtful citizens can change the world. Well, now, my guru and I, we thought about bringing balance into our world. My guru and I went for a walk this morning, and when we came back, he sat on my lap and snuggled in, stuck his nose down under my arm, and wiggled his tail, and I felt his heartbeat. I said, "Hey, cool down there, calm down." And I said, "Just relax, relax." I said, "Everything's in order, just relax." He said, "But I'm so excited." I said, "That's right, be excited, but just relax." Well, my guru, little by little, relaxed a little bit, you know. But he's still pretty excited. Anyone would be excited if I were with them. And so we sat there and we had a discussion. And I said, you know, the reason people have high blood pressure is because they don't have low blood pressure. And my guru said, a very perceptive observation. And I said, the reason that they don't have low blood pressure is that they have high blood pressure. And he says, very, very understandable. And the reason that they have high blood pressure is because they haven't learned how to play the game of life. They haven't learned that the game of life is a game. And it doesn't matter what game they play. They can play the game of a husband and wife or children, or a husband and wife with children, or either or. They can play the game of a single parent. They can play the game of a gay parent. They can play the game of a person seeking their beloved somewhere in the vast morass of the world. And they can think of all these possibilities. But the thing is, the minute they think it's for real, then the game begins to take its toll on their body. When they can play the game and maintain their childish innocence throughout their entire life with no responsibility to anything except to be themselves and have fun, everything works beautifully. Now, it came to my mind, I don't have the facts at my fingertips right at the moment, but if you want to look them up, the encyclopedia or the almanac has the answers to this. Go through the encyclopedia, or go through the almanac, or whatever, and find out who were the oldest men who were U.S. senators and congressmen and presidents. Now, Reagan was president late into his 70s. Late into his 70s. And he was, so to speak, oh, yes, he would take his naps, but so to speak, he was a relaxed man. A very relaxed man. And he did not have all of these problems. In fact, he got shot, and he didn't even get shot, you know. One of his people got shot. And he did get Alzheimer's. But this was something that was different. What is Alzheimer's all about? Alzheimer's is when the body forgets that the show is over. How many of you have ever had sex? And after sex, you have that period of relaxation. But if you are a person who likes a lot of it, then the moment you go down, then the moment you come up again with all that enthusiasm, and you want it again, and again, and again, and again. Okay, well now, you're playing the game of life. And you play the game very beautifully, and after the game has gone through its cycle, then you're ready for the next cycle. And your anticipation of the next cycle of golf, tennis, marriage, your wife or husband dies or something, and you say, well, now, should I have this be all that there is? And you say, no. And so you choose someone else and marry them. And now, let me finish what I started there. Look in the almanac, the encyclopedia, and find out how old a lot of congressmen, senators, and legislators are. Many of them are in their 70s, 80s, and 90 year old. One fellow from, I think it was South Carolina, was 90 years old and re-elected for office. Re-elected every 4 years for office because he played the game so beautifully. It didn't touch his body. It didn't touch his mind. He was sharp and clear and crisp because he was enjoying himself. He was not doing it, oh dear, we got troubles in Central City. He didn't say any of those things. He just played the game. Oh, he could be a tiger. That was part of the game too. You know? It didn't really touch him. If you took his blood pressure when he'd been a tiger, it would look rather normal. And you think to yourself, he is a good actor. He is a good actor. But you see, these are all games. Now, what kind of a game are you playing? Here you are in a very normal situation. You do the most stupid thing that you could ever do in your life. And what is the most stupid thing you can ever do in your life? The most stupid thing you can ever do in your life is to retire. Because the moment you retire, you break your cycle. You break your activity of feeling needed and wanted and participating in life and enjoying yourself. And so, what happens? You have no interest in living anymore. You have no excitement in living, no excitement in doing anything. Now, we watched a movie last night, Under the Tuscan sun. And this is from down in the Italy way. Now, I have three people sitting in front of me who saw the movie too. Now, they're going to remember exactly what I'm saying the minute I say it, but they will not remember it until I say it. The person who had the greatest revelation in the movie last night was the old man. Yeah. Every day the old man would go to a place on the wall where he had flowers for his beloved wife who had died 10 centuries before, or maybe, who knows. And every day he would go there with his tam and his old jacket and his unhappy face. And he would replace the flowers in the vase with fresh ones, field-cut flowers. Very lovely, very, very thoughtful and very dignified. And our heroine of the movie would look down from her upper window and always see him coming. And she would say, why doesn't he let it go? Why doesn't he release it? Why doesn't he forget about this and get about the art of living? And so every day she would gesture to him a loving gesture, and he would ignore her. Well, this went on until the end of the movie. And at the end of the movie, He came with a different hat. He came with a beautiful chapeau. He had a love, his cane was always with him. And he came and put fresh plants in, fresh flowers in. And then, as he looked up at her, and he didn't know what to think. But he felt different. Something had happened in him. And so then, he started to walk away. And she was still watching and sort of getting ready to go back in the house and thinking to herself, how sad. And then she noticed that he turned and he looked at her and he gave her a little salute to his hat and had a little smile on his face. And she was delighted. She said, yes, 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 you know. And he, in that very subtle, gentle gesture, but also the hat, no longer the tam, he was gaining a new respect for himself and life. And quite likely, had the story gone on, he might have become the grandfather in her family and part of her family as she was adopting everyone in the Sunder. But you see, he was finding a new role in life. His role had been so long just putting flowers on grandma's remembrance, if that's what he did, that he was going downhill and becoming lesser and lesser. But no, he had the chance to go uphill. Well, now, as I talked to my guru this morning, we were discussing the idea that if we have a joy in living, we will have the most exciting time there is. Now, I put my hand on his heart, and it was just beating so happily and so wildly because we had just come in from play and he was on my lap and he was wiggling and twiggling around and showing his thorough enjoyment of being in my presence, you know. And so I just gentle, and little by little his heartbeat went down to a relaxed beat. Now, and a young puppy dog, just 10 weeks old, certainly a fast-beating heart and a slow-beating heart doesn't make too much difference because their body is so flexible that it can fit very beautifully in the excitement of the day. But also, what I was doing with him and with me was training him that he can control his heartbeat. Not the heartbeat so much, but he can control the speed. He can control the blood pressure by relaxing, by relaxing. Now, someday, if you can, and you have a cat in your lap, and you are sitting somewhere where the cat can see a mouse, or something that attracts her attention, and you have your hand over the heart of that cat. That cat's heart beats in such a slow, beautiful, powerful rhythm. No wasted energy. No wasted energy. It has immediate response to itself and its world. That its blood pressure is extremely under control. Its pulse is extremely under control. Its beingness is extremely under control. But you just take these people, like Ronald Reagan, the senator from South Carolina there, the various people who are very active in politics, just take them, for instance, and what will you find? They, too, have controlled blood pressure. They have learned not to seethe. You know what seething means? It's you're sitting there having a conversation and someone says, you're terrible, you're mean, and you're just seething with desire to say, you know, and fight back. And you see, these people who are in great positions of power do not seethe. They do not let their body manipulate them. They tell their body, peace, peace, peace. Then when they stand up and respond, they stand up in dignity, in integrity, in childishness, and they stand up and say, I do believe that that was spoken incorrectly. Or, I do believe this is how we might look at that problem. With such peace and such wisdom and such dignity, everyone listens and says, yes, he is right. The other, rant, rant, rave, rave, rant, rant, rave, rave. And whenever someone rants and raves, you can be sure they're not sure of their facts. They're not sure of what it is they're ranting and raving about. They're merely trying to get attention. And in trying to get attention, they're being noisy. And their blood pressure goes up. And their body is out of control. Now, what do you think their mind is doing when they're ranting and raving? Their mind is not thinking clearly. Because the blood pressure is intense in their mental sphere, sphere meaning their brains, and their brains are not thinking clearly. What happens when you get angry? You turn off some of your glands so that they do not pour forth things that are beneficial to you. Oh, your adrenaline is in high gear, shroom, shroom, shooting it out there and saying flight or fight, you know. And that's great. But you see, a master is one who is always in control, and you hate them. You absolutely hate them. Because you know that if you were in that same situation, you would be blowing your stack. You would be losing your cool. You would be just out in left space and left field, and you just would not have any coverage at all of handling yourself. Think about that. Think about that. Think about how a cat becomes so stealthy, so peaceful, so one-pointed, that in a moment, pop, it can get the mouse. Mm-hmm. Think about a snake, any snake. The snake lays there as though nothing is on its mind whatsoever. And yet when the cricket or the critter comes by that he wants for lunch, he, in such a movement, he has it. Now, that's a trained reaction. I'm sure that it was trained in from the Creator in the very beginning, but that's a trained reaction to respond to its world. And it's just a that's its wallet. It opens its wallet and takes out the money and says, okay, I'll take that one. And so that's its purchase price, to be able to go and capture its prey or its lunch. I think it's nicer to say lunch than prey, because it is not really wanting to be mean to the other creature. It just wants to eat them, because that's its meal. And each of you eat creatures all the time. You eat salmon, you eat fish, you eat chickens, you eat hamburgers, you eat, who knows what all you eat, my goodness sakes. If you knew what all you eat, if you had a chance to meet it before you ate it, you wouldn't eat it. But then again, that's the way life is. So we don't judge that. That's part of our way of doing things. Now, we say here, a small group of thoughtful citizens can change the world. All right. Let's look at Ronald Reagan. I have a lot of respect for that man. A lot of people don't. I have a lot of respect for that man because he did what others could not do. Now let's look at another one. Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy set a whole new tenor for the United States and the world of the young president. Unfortunately, he was a sexually young president too, you know. But the thing is, he was a young president, and everybody forgave him. And you look at Clinton. Clinton is a genius, and Clinton did so many beautiful things in office. He was able to bring together the parties and bring together all of these activities that were important for his political activity. And he did them with great facility and great ability. And we don't even think about that because we think about the little nonsense things that went on, you know. And here we have one individual. Sure, he's a president doing these things. But I'm sure that if I were able to think of others, well, look at here's another stupid person, an idiot, Mother Teresa. I mean, this woman went against the Catholic teachings. She went against the program. She went against everything because she had a big heart. She wanted to help the poor children. She wanted to help the poor in India. And she wasn't even from India. But she wanted to help the poor in India. So she went there, and she was not acclimated to the environment, to the health, and so forth. And in the process, she broke down her health. But, you know, she did all the stupid things. But her motivation, her ultimate motivation, was so pure and so total that she got done what she wanted to do. And she brought others into helping her to do it. But here is she was, just a small group of thoughtful citizens changing the world. She was one of a small group, those she gathered around her. And they changed the thinking and the attitude of the Pope and of the Catholic community and of the world. And who is our Dalai Lama? Yes, he's a big representative of his organization, which was not terribly a big organization, but it was a meaningful organization, one that worked in meditation and so forth. And here he is going around the world like a hyena, laughing, laughing, laughing. He's teaching everyone that laughter, smiles, sincerity, harmony, happiness, are the key to putting the world in perfect order. Here, is that what they teach in the lamaseries? Well, that's what he learned. And that's what he's sharing. He is probably one of the most significant men on the face of the earth. And then you take Billy Graham. He stood up for what he understood to be the teachings of Jesus and taught them, and the world sits at his beck and call, just admiring him to pieces. See, a small group of thoughtful citizens can change the world. Now, it would be nice if all of these people would go in one direction. And they're not going to go in one direction. Because if they go in one direction, then the mission here on earth is done. The mission on earth is to be yourself and have fun and be at peace. And what institutes being at peace? Just relaxing. No longer having your high blood pressure. No longer having your attitude that you think the world is a big responsibility and a big problem. When you're ready for that, miracles can happen. When you're ready for that, life takes a whole new direction for you. Do little children have high blood pressure?
No.
Because they haven't taken on the role of Papa for the world. Do older people have high blood pressure? Sometimes. But most of the time, not. Most of the time, what is it they have the problem with older people? Any blood pressure at all. Because they are so relaxed. They're so relaxed, they don't have virtually any blood pressure at all. And you take some people who are actively involved in their life, their blood pressure doesn't come from their actively involved in their life. It comes because their nose is so big, it's in other people's business. They want to change the world. Now, what did Mother Teresa want to do? She wanted to help one person at a time. And she did that. She opened her clinics to help one person at a time. She would hold one little baby in her arms at a time. She wasn't saying, I must go around and hold every baby. She probably went around and held a lot of them. But she held one at a time, and she gave it her absolute love, her absolute peace. She changed the world. She changed the attitude about the world. But you know, back in the 40s and 50s, the world was a little different too. In the 60s. And they had a Up With People program. And the young people would go around the world helping different communities like the Peace Corps. And then they would go on stage and they would sing Up With People. And they would sing these uplifting songs. They'd sing these uplifting ideas and they would do beautiful things. And then somewhere in the 80s, it drifted away. It ceased to find relevance because the people were looking at life just a little differently. And isn't it a shame? But yet, it was there. And they changed the world. They changed the world, or at least they contributed to the world being a peaceful world and a harmonious world. And great things happened. Oh, true, some of the youngsters got in trouble, but the majority of them had high ideals and high goals and high purposes, and they met those purposes. You see, a small group of thoughtful citizens can change the world, but we don't want to change the world. We want to change ourselves, if we want to change anything, so that we can be at peace within ourselves. And when we're at peace within ourselves, then everything is divine. Now, what is Ronald Reagan doing with this Alzheimer's disease? He doesn't recognize other people. He doesn't recognize his family. He still is living, and he's still doing the normal things, riding his horses, doing his normal things, but he cannot interact with society because he doesn't have any responsibility to society anymore. You see, when he left office, he no longer had any great demand and drive upon him. But all of his life he was an actor, or he was with the Screen Guild Actors, or he was the governor of California for 2 terms, or he was the president of the United States for 2 terms, into his late years. And most people would have retired a long time before. But he was very active, and he was a very superior man. And time will tell how superior he was. But he went into Alzheimer's, and that was merely a time when everything was released. All the pressures that had ever been on him were released, and he was at peace. And he is at peace, doing his thing. He's in his 90s now, or whatever he's in. And you say, well, wouldn't it be nice if he knew what was going on in the world? For you, for him, he's perfectly content. He has released the world. He's released the responsibilities. He's released having to go give lectures on behalf of his parties and stuff like that. He's released from all that. He's just doing his own thing. And perhaps not as well as his family or his wife or his world would like him to do. But perhaps he's doing it even better. And I guess that could be in line with Jesus saying, go and sin no more. Not that he had sinned, but go and release the problems of the world and live at peace with yourself. So, like my guru said, he said, cool it, relax, be at peace, let go. And then, as we laid there together, sat in the chair, and he was all cuddled up on top of me, he put his head on top of my chest, on top of my heart, and he'd say, you know, and what do you think that did to me? Relaxation, you know. So, why do they say people should have pets? They say people should have pets because they turn their worried attention from themselves to their pet, not the worried attention, but they turn on their love to their pet. And when they do that, then they have responsibility. I walked a small path with him this morning, and three times he asked to be lifted up because he was so tired. But he was wiggling, so he wasn't tired. He merely wanted to be close. And then I'd set him down again, and he'd walk between my legs, on top of my legs, around my legs, you know, and I have to be careful I don't step on his feet. But if I did step on his feet a little bit, he didn't even feel it. He didn't even feel it. But that's what life is all about. Being at peace. Being at peace. Being at peace. So, if ever your blood pressure gets high, if ever your activities get too demanding of you, just cuddle your pet and you'll find you'll be at peace. It's a wonderful thing. You can make a difference in this world. You will make a difference in this world as long as you love yourself and love everyone in your world. I love you, and I see you all having a beautiful Sunday, and I know that every day of the year is beautiful for you because I love you, I love you, I love you.